Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
And we're back with an all-new episode of Keep It. But it's a Thanksgiving edition, guys.
So we're going to somehow be less thankful than usual.
Yeah, we're not talking about the news this week. We are going to answer questions from the audience.
Oh, I actually am thankful for that. Never mind.
Yeah, from our listeners at home or wherever they listen to Keep It. I don't know, the subway.
I don't presume where anybody listens to us.
I don't presume anyone listens to us at all.
No, that I presume.
Okay.
Due to my narcissism disorder.
You guys sent us questions. God love you. And now we're going to answer them.
Because this is an appropriate place to answer them and not when you ask me about how Lewis finds his carpenter shirts in my Instagram comments. Those I delete.
Keep it up.
Anyway, our first question is from Carly.
Hey, girl.
Who are each of your favorite guests you've had on, and who are your future dream guests?
Oh, good question.
My favorite guest has been Samantha Irby.
She was fabulous.
Because I love her so much, and she's so funny, and she is a perfect human being, and everyone needs to know it.
She is smart. She is an author.
She called Adonis her grandchild.
That's right. There's actually lots of like sleeper answers for this. I mean, I thought Marty Noxon was amazing. Guy Branum was fabulous. Like, I wish we interviewed Michael Arsenault on the phone. I wish he were here. That would have been great. And also another sleeper choice, Vina Sood, who the woman who directed 7 Seconds. Mm-hmm. I thought she was awesome too.
Yeah, I loved Shangela. I wish
early Keep It.
Yeah, early vintage Keep It. I wish that we had had her post A Star Is Born, but she is booked and busy these days. Who else did I love? I don't know.
God, most of our guests are pretty good. You can hear that we love our guests, generally speaking,
yeah.
I think. You know, we're like, oh, thank God, you're funny.
Yeah. I think we've actually liked all of our guests, too. So if we didn't, I'd tell you, to be honest.
Right, right.
I don't care.
Who is a future dream guest?
God, it's weird that we haven't had Nicole Byer. I love her so much.
Well, she's been on that other podcast, Hysteria.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, our rival.
Now I'm in a rage.
We have too many rivals. You call everyone making a podcast. I personally cannot handle that many rivals.
I will take you down, Joe Rogan.
RuPaul's a good answer. I would love to have RuPaul on the podcast.
I mean, obviously I want to work my way through my white lady list.
Oh, right. Yes.
I would love Martha Stewart. Ugh. I want her to come in and tell us everything we're doing wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Well, surprise, Kara, for our Thanksgiving episode, here's Martha Stewart.
She comes in, rolls her eyes, walks out.
Actually, we're just going to bake a Kwanzaa cake today.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Who would I love to have on the show? I think we'd all love to have, like, I don't know, Serena.
Don't even.
LeBron.
Oh, yeah. LeBron's a Laker now, I'm sure.
He's in L.A. We can get him.
Could he get in here?
Got to do something in the morning.
He may be too tall to fit into our office, especially through that door.
How high do these mics go?
I also want God.
Okay.
Good answer. That's what people want to hear.
I love Jesus, and I will not apologize.
You certainly need Jesus. I don't know if your feelings about him matter otherwise, though.
All right. Our next question is from Connor. With one N.
Who is currently the most powerful woke teen?
Oh, God. I haven't seen the new Sabrina yet. Is it her?
Is she still a teen?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I see a teen and I run the other way.
That's what I'm saying.
They're a little
They know
scary.
Too much.
I mean, in terms of actual power and like getting shit done, I would have to say both fortunately and unfortunately, it's all of the Parkland students who like came out of that like fucking badasses and have been shaming adults for being pieces of shit. Left and right, and making Laura Ingraham look like a moron every day of her shitty life. They're powerful. They're mm-hmm. woke. They're out here.
I think that's the qualified answer. Like Timmy Chalamet, that's not an actual teen anymore. He just plays them. I would also say him. Beautiful boy.
I liked it. Does he do stuff?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no.
Yes.
So he just looks like a teen.
He knows Cardi B lyrics. Not what you asked. Anyway.
You know, when Olivia Munn was going through her Predator drama, before the other actors joined in with her finally, the only other actor who was doing press with her was young woke teen Jacob Tremblay.
He's not even a teenager,
I don't know
is
who
he?
That is.
He's 12.
He's the kid from Room, who is like a little cherub. Okay.
He's 12.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
So not a teen. Both of you have mentioned people who are not teenagers.
Future what? Legendary teenager.
What is a teenager?
Someone between the ages of 13 and 19.
I'm going to say,
I don't know.
Dictionary helps out here.
I haven't seen American Graffiti in years.
Wow. Thanks for that reference. Candy Clark, Best Supporting Actress nominee. Oh, okay. This one's from Justin. Okay, you can tell
do
me
we
if we're not
cool with this
guy. I was going to say, we don't
not
have
doing
to.
This, yeah. One. This is weird.
Someone asked us to fuck, marry, kill the hosts of Pod Save America, and no.
No. Justin, get it together.
They're tell nice
who,
people.
Tell us who you want to fuck, Justin. That's what you really wanted to say.
On to Corey. What is each of your favorite LaCroix flavors?
I'm sticking with Pamplemousse. I just like the color of the can, first of all. And then secondly, I mean, I have to say, all LaCroix does the job of refreshing me, though. So I'm not discriminating.
The writers room I'm in, so we sort of cycle through different LaCroix flavors. And I have been really into peach pear recently.
That's the only one of the hybrids I'm obsessed with. I like them all. But that's the one that like sets me off.
I think I'm a peach pear gal for now.
You know, I have actually really been into the pure.
Oh.
That's for like aliens who don't understand water.
Listen, you know what?
That used to be my favorite.
I like it pure, like I like my Aryan blood.
Not a speck of anything else. Pristine.
Kat has a question. Girl, this question is long as fuck.
You know what? Good question, though. I'm excited for it.
I am wondering how y'all are able to find the line between liking a problematic artist without condoning or ignoring behavior that is potentially damaging to communities. For example, Cardi B has had countless scandals where she has used transphobic slurs and said transphobic things. Sometimes she will give a half-hearted apology, but I don't know how to feel about them. I feel guilty listening to Cardi because I don't want people to think I condone those statements or think they don't matter.
Well, I will say enough people have been fuck-ups that you would think in a way you become immune to caring what people say, how problematic they are. The opposite's true. I find it easier to just ditch people when they say the wrong fucking thing because it's not hard to know what the right thing is. Everyone's giving you the clues all the time. Stick around on Twitter.
One thing I am trying to be better about is... like, I think there are certain people where I'm fine with being like, fuck them, we're done with them. But I'm trying to be a little bit better about, like, someone says something and have they apologized? Because it's crazy how many people do not apologize, which often goes a long way. Like, an actual good apology where you're acknowledging what happened. Because these aren't, like, capital crimes. Yeah. They're shitty things, but often a apology works. So when someone has actually apologized, because we're getting to the point where there may be absolutely no one left for anyone to, you know,
it's
to
just
have
Kristen
to
Bell.
Talk about. It's just gonna be Kristen Bell. She's gonna be our only celebrity. But I do think, like, so I'm trying to get a little bit better about, like, not. I think I've given people periods where I'm like, okay, you said something dumb, you did something dumb, you didn't apologize in a way that felt satisfactory. I'm taking a break from this, and then sort of seeing where we end up. Where are we going? Did they get better? Did they get worse? Did they repeat this mistake? Did they do it again? And then, you know, and then from there saying, how do I feel about this?
I agree, you know, because it can be hard, especially with, I mean, not just Cardi, with Nicki, you know, she is constantly saying something that is anti-gay on an album. But sometimes you do end up making excuses for people who aren't white. Sadly, you know, like if they're an artist who's like a woman of color, or, you know, they're gay, or queer or anything, sometimes you end up just internally sort of making excuses for them. And listen, no one's telling you personally that you don't have to listen to something.
Right.
If you feel bad for listening to it, then maybe don't listen to it because, you know, your inner
right.
self is telling you don't do that. But, you know, a lot of people talk about separating the artist from the art.
Which you
don't have to do that. But sometimes you just want to listen to a song in the privacy of your own home. Listen to it.
I think also, like, there are things certain white friends of mine can say to me that they should not say to another black person that they don't know. And so that's sort of the thing where, like, when I look at Cardi, it's probably language she uses around other queer people who mm-hmm. are her friends and know her and don't take offense to it. And that's their prerogative. However, it's very different when you tweet it to millions and millions of people. And so I think that's the other thing that I try to think of is, like, when they're saying something, like, is that something Nicki would say to, like, gay friends of hers who don't have a problem with it, which, like, you could make any judgment on whether or not they should or shouldn't be offended by something. But it's very different when you're just putting it out into the world, especially when people don't know you. Like, you don't yeah. actually know what her deal is and if she thinks ignorant things or if she says that playfully to a friend of hers. I don't know. And that's the problem, which is probably why you shouldn't be saying it on that platform.
Words like that need context. Indeed.
Yes. Context, really, all the time.
mm-hmm. I stand context.
Matt had a question, and it's, who's the greatest Survivor player of all time? It's Parvati.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I've only catch every, like, 5 years I turn into Survivor, but she is the one who remains in my head, like, entertaining and just dastardly. Survivor has the best of contestants.
She's
good
great.
Answer.
Mackenzie wants to know, if Kara had to make every person read 5 books...
And she has to do that.
Which one would she choose?
I mean, I 5.
Well, luckily,
100.
Kara has 20 books sitting here right now.
Right, I'm surrounded by them.
She's like Matilda.
I don't know. I mean, like, I've said The Warmth of Other Suns, which I think is such an important book. I mean, I just, guys, there's so much. Like, you should read everything Toni Morrison has written. You should read everything.
The Bluest Eye is one of my favorite
books.
Yeah,
you should read everything that, like, Nikki Giovanni has written. She's a poet. You should read, I mean, my favorite book of all time is 100 Years of Solitude. You should everything Gabriel Garcia Marquez has written.
I consider this podcast magical realism.
I mean, don't we know it? I think this is going to be sort of coming off of one of our other questions. There is an author named Sherman Alexie, who I love so deeply, who was caught up in some crazy sort of Me Too shit earlier this year, where it came out that he was being abusive towards women, which was very difficult because, honestly, I think there's no writer who's had more of an impact on my writing. I also think he is still an unbelievable fucking writer.
Mm-hmm.
He may be a monster. The writing is still incredible. Mm-hmm. So that's a hard one, too, because I do think people should read it, but don't if you think he's gross, which is fine.
Yeah.
That's a fair opinion to have.
But also, yeah, poetry. Read plays, too. You know,
I love reading plays.
If you love Gabriel Garcia Marquez and magical realism, like, you should be reading August Wilson, Joe Turner's Come and Gone, Seven Guitars. Like, these are beautiful stories.
Piano Lesson. That's my favorite of his.
Read a lot of shit.
I think the other thing, I think the thing is to, like, always be reading. Because it's sort of this, when you have to, like, be like, I'm going to read a book, and then you have to go, like, pick the book, and then you're sitting there at a bookstore, you're on Amazon, you're, like, trying to find the book. That, like, I can see why you'd be like, oh, fuck it, whatever. And I think there's something to just, like, I like having actual books, and I just, like, buy books when I see one that I'm interested in, and maybe I'm not going to get to it for a month, but I have it, and so when I finish other ones, now I'm going to get to that. So I think there's something to just accumulating, put them in your library queue, have them ready to go, and
I
really
like that physical book.
I do, too.
Although I do, for something that I'm less like, oh, this needs to be on my bookshelf, I'll get it for my iPad so I can read it when I travel.
I still just love holding a book. And I think, like, when someone sits down and writes a book, they, like, see the book, the physical book.
Yeah.
And I like something to me about, like, giving the writers that satisfaction of, like, holding their book in their hand.
Not give Omarosa the satisfaction.
You did not. Yes. Do not buy her book.
I bought it, but for the Kindle.
Oh, God. Well, readers or listeners, don't buy the book.
At him, thanks.
Also, that's still a future guest I want.
Omarosa?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I want her on the show. God. I want the tea.
I'm looking skyward just waiting for someone to save me. Moving on.
Someone named TK asked me my insight on why Bravo segregates the Housewives franchises and why there's no diversity.
Interesting. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that all of the shows with white women on it are white, but then the early black shows, they thought that they needed a white
one
woman.
One white person.
The Julie Bowen and Jumping the Broom, yeah. Yes.
They had a white woman on Married to Medicine or season.
Atlanta.
They had Kim Zolciak. And now they've realized, oh, we don't need a white woman to get white people to watch.
DC, which was always a weird, like,
that was
is
a
DC,
blend.
The
last
season.
Well, it was a blip, but then also it's this interesting thing of, like, is DC, like, a quote-unquote black city? And, like, a lot of them didn't actually live, a lot of them lived in, like, Maryland or whatever.
Like,
but
on Potomac?
Yeah, right. So they had DC and then Potomac. But in Potomac, they didn't have any white women on it, did
no.
they? But they did on... They
well, because Potomac has... dark skin and light skin
right.
women, and that's the drama. I don't know. It's also weird because I've heard the ratings for, like, Atlanta's a huge show, but the way that people watch them differently is different from how they watch New York.
But isn't, you know, Atlanta the highest rated? They get
yes.
the most viewers.
Yes. They'll watch it in those same date viewers. But the demographics are so different, and that's why, you know, certain advertisers prefer the white shows, because they want to get those young white women millennials.
Also, TK, you know why they segregate them.
Yeah.
It's the same reason they had to put that white dude in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need him. He was not necessary.
Yeah,
that
Martin
story.
Freeman was too much of that, if
nope.
I do have to say so myself.
I mean, he was like fine. He was fine, but
yeah.
it certainly wasn't necessary to the narrative
right.
of Black Panther.
Keep Bucky's fine ass in the movie. That's the white boy we needed. You should have woken him up earlier in that movie.
They should have.
Yeah.
So we have a question.
Why,
yeah.
Andy?
We
Actually, I'd love Andy to be on the show so I can ask him that question.
Good luck getting Andy on the show the way you have. We now have a question from Justin. He says, I would love to know more about the projects you're working on outside of the podcast. Also, this is a pivot. Who would you like to see run
oh,
for
God.
President and challenge Trump in 2020? Justin, that's two questions,
Head
my
fake.
Man.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I think now is a perfect time to announce that I'm going to be running.
How quickly?
For president in 2020. I'm kidding.
Who do I want to see run?
I'm going to hyperventilate answering this question.
I know.
I don't want to see anybody
You're stressing
run.
Me out. You're stressing me out.
Can we end the presidency?
Right, yeah.
Can we do the queen thing and then the parliament? I like that.
Yeah.
But not a queen. It's just Jay-Z and Beyonce. Who we've now made, they get to live in the White House
yeah,
forever.
Right.
And then we have the parliament people.
Yeah.
How about that?
I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Who
let's
do I
that.
Want to see run for? I don't want to see no damn body run for president. I could think of people now, but it's like, I don't know. I thought I wanted Elizabeth Warren to run.
I know, but it's like she's also so good at her job.
She started taking DNA tests like she was on General Hospital.
Right, yeah. When Maury exonerated Elizabeth Warren. What a moment in American history.
I mean, I want Kamala Harris, if I have to
yeah,
have someone.
Love well, Kamala.
But, I mean, come
I love
on.
Kirsten Gillibrand, so mm-hmm. she'd be great. Yeah.
I mean.
I certainly don't want any men. How about that? There's
right.
my answer. They've had enough.
Oh, you don't want the men?
Mm-mm.
Just one
you don't
more.
Want, you, don't no. want, you don't want Gavin Newsom looking fine in that Oval Office?
Nope. Nope.
All right. Justin's other question was, what are the projects we're working on outside of the podcast?
We're
all writers. I have things I'm working on, but I can't really talk about them.
Oh,
them.
T. I know. Well, you've been writing on...
I've been writing on a show called In the Dark, which will be on the CW, joining the ranks of Riverdale next year, mid-season premiere. So I've been writing a drama. It's
yeah.
very dramatic.
And I've been writing on a teen sci-fi drama called Daybreak, which premieres next fall. On Netflix.
There you go.
I'm currently writing on something. Actually, no, wait, I can't bring that up. What I wrote on before, I can't bring up. A pilot for a show where it's like an entertainment news version of The Daily Show, where I'd be a writer and correspondent. Please, God, let that happen.
Yes, we really want to get rid of him.
Legally, they can't any other way. It has to be
the
show.
It has to be specifically
so,
this show. Yeah. It's in the contract.
Ooh, from Amanda. What's everyone's favorite movie musical? I would say Cabaret, followed by...
Wow, that was a quick answer.
Yeah. I've ranked these before, I think, in my mind. Victor Victoria is another one. Sound of Music.
We got one.
Okay, well...
She said one, Louis.
Did she say 11? Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, I think mine may still be Chicago.
Certainly fun.
Yeah. All right.
How do you feel about that Queen Latifah nomination? She was good. Was she not good?
I mean... I feel better about it than J-Hud's.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mine is My Fair Lady.
I love My Fair Lady.
Oh.
Yeah. And my grandmother would like play the soundtrack and she'd do an accent similar to Ira. No, she would not.
Wow, your relative started this?
I'm shocked we haven't called you. We haven't made a My Fair Lady comparison with his British accent yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's taken this long is incredible.
Colonel Pickering should be shutting you the fuck up.
Eliza.
You know, but aside from Chicago, probably West Side Story as well.
I don't love the movie of West Side Story, other than Rita and George Shakiris, I love in it.
I love the movie. And also, Guys and Dolls.
Oh, I love that music.
It is a...
Adelaide.
Yeah, it is a beautiful movie. Nina wants to know what a good name for our loyal Keep It listener base should be. They need something more distinctive than Friend of the Pod.
Yeah, can we be like a sassy cousin of the pod? No, you know what I always think every time this question comes up is, I used to be on this other podcast called Pop Rocket, and they call their fans Rocketeers, and I always want to call us our fans Keepeteers, but that like is not really a pun. So anyway, we need an answer to this.
Our fans are the Keepers.
Oh, like that Netflix drama about nuns.
Yeah, yeah.
Those nuns knew some shit.
I don't have a good one.
I don't know. If you guys have ideas, let us know.
Can we just be Rihanna Navy?
Right. We just fold into each other.
Yeah.
I will say whatever is pitched, nothing too cute.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Something too fucking cutesy. Something like Navy, where you're like, they will come and destroy you.
And that's there's a uniform.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about the Rihanna Navy, because they're like, they're coming.
And it's also a reference to the movie Battleship, which is LOL.
We got a couple of questions from social media.
What's that?
At Less Scrutable asked, favorite thing you're watching on TV right now?
I feel like this is cheap because we just had her on, but I think The Good Place is amazing.
I only started really watching it recently. It is adult.
It's so great. I also watched all of, and this will be kind of controversial, I watched all of Forever, which is the Amazon show with Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph, and it's not like laugh out loud hilarious. So you should go in with that in mind, which to me is also Fred Armisen. But I think like they're trying to do something cool, and I appreciate it. And I also like shows when it's a Hulu or a Netflix or an Amazon where you know that because it's not a network show and you don't have commercials and things like that, it's like fully the vision that the creators had. And that's exactly what they wanted to see. And it may not be exactly right, but I think there's something cool about, like, this is exactly what, like, Alan Yang wanted to make, and he made it. So I like that.
I have been obsessed and need the second season immediately of Elite on Netflix.
Oh, I've got to watch that. They look hot.
You love sexy teens.
I know.
These are horny teens and murder.
Okay, first of all, I didn't say I liked horny teens. I said I liked attractive.
They are all hot. It's basically How to Get Away with Murder, too. It is so good.
Are they like Riverdale hot? Because that's my standard.
The show is filmed in Spain, so they are Spanish hot.
Okay.
Good move.
I like hot teens doing fun things. I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to insert myself into anything. I just like seeing teens who have figured it out aesthetically, even though I know they're not actually teens, doing fun shit and being dramatic. That's what I enjoy.
I continue to be astounded at the color of Archie's hair. He looks like hot bozo.
He looks so much better, too, like, with his natural hair.
I know. He's like a gorgeous person. Yeah, right.
Him being in prison this season of Riverdale.
Oh, my God. The preview stills. I can't even look.
Yes. He was framed for murder.
You're still watching Riverdale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was framed for murder by Veronica's dad.
Oh, Jesus. Lewis, what are you watching?
I'm watching this unlimited series called Jeopardy. And I'm waiting for... And I'm waiting for Veep to come back, which is my favorite show.
This is the last season of Veep, right?
I know.
Yeah.
God.
I mean,
it's over. Let's have Julie on the
show.
She is
truly the best living comedic actress.
Yeah, just the baddest fucking bitch.
And you know what I remember a few years ago when she was nominated against like Issa and Tracy? I had this moment of like, I obviously, because she also has 1,000 Emmys.
Right.
And I wanted Issa and Tracy, one of them to win. However, this is a really good example of like, Julie Louis-Dreyfus is so good that it's not so much about like, other people not getting their due, but like she really is like excellent, as opposed to when like an average like white person wins and you're like, oh, you're just not acknowledging the best person. Like every time she wins, I'm like, that's fine.
No, it's like no one complains.
No one complains.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, you're exceptional.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Like you did the damn thing.
Exactly.
You're not just like, all right.
You're not like in Modern Family season 7,
Julie Bowen
collecting Emmys.
Mm-hmm. Another slam on Julie Bowen this episode. I like Julie Bowen.
Yeah. Wasn't she rumored to be dating Tucker Carlson?
We never confirmed that, thank God, but I don't know.
What?
Allegedly.
Tucker Carlson?
Yes.
I can't
Julie
even go
Bowen?
There. I truly love her so much, I can't even go
no,
there.
No, with her fit little arms?
Yeah.
No, so, Tucker Carlson?
Like months ago, some comedian tweeted it.
Oh, Christ. Don't do that, Julie.
But allegedly.
Okay.
She's like a superpowered Elizabeth Banks. Not that Elizabeth Banks isn't empowered on her own. Moving on.
Our last question.
Is this the last one?
I think it's the last one.
Okay. It's from Max. Lewis, if you could force Ira and Kara to watch one film and they had to comply, you had to physically restrain us, apparently.
My dream. Yes.
Which film would it be?
Ask the white person on the podcast to terrorize us in our own homes. Thanks, Max.
I may come off a bit smug about movies, et cetera, but truly, I do not care, generally speaking, what people see or don't see. It's very specific towards, like, I'm not angry about this kind of thing. However, actually, last week, Kara brought up Paris is Burning, which is a movie that I assume everybody I know has seen, but truly, it's not chronically available, so maybe people haven't seen it. Let me just reiterate what it is. It is an 80-minute documentary, everyone has time for it, about drag ball culture in the late 80s in Harlem. So it stars black drag queens, Latinx drag queens, and they are all motherfucking hilarious. Everything RuPaul has given us in terms of vernacular, et cetera, comes from Paris is Burning.
Okay, but we've seen
but we've seen Paris is Burning.
Yes, so but you're going to watch it again. And
I've seen Paris is Burning.
I wrote
a column called Shade for it. What are we going to watch? Oh,
okay. Well, you've both seen All About Eve, right? Have you seen They Shoot Horses, Don't They? I didn't say that.
Yes,
They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
It's about a dance competition.
In the Depression where people dance marathoned to death. It's Jane Fonda's best movie. It might make you a stan.
I like Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
I like, she's, listen, Jane Fonda is one of the best aging white women to exist on the planet. I fuck with Jane Fonda. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They Shoot Horses, Don't They is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so it's dancing. It's like Jitterbug, kind of dancing?
Well, it kind of seems like it starts out that way, but then it goes on for weeks at a time, so it becomes the most grueling, disgusting movie ever. It is so bleak. It's bleaker than you expect,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, but it's great. Well, Ira has seen everything secretly. We pretend like I'm like the movie nerd on this podcast. This fucker is always watching shit.
Give me a move.
Oh, God. Have you seen... I will go with the Bette Davis movie Dark Victory.
I have not.
Speaking of, Kara works on a show about a blind person. This is the original blind drama.
Oh, I've heard. We talked about this in the room. Yeah.
It was like the first time Bette Davis to me was like the best in the late 30s. And anyway, dramatic blindness is something we did a lot in old movies.
Is she better than Audrey Hepburn playing blind?
By the way, in that movie, Wait Until Dark, where Audrey Hepburn's like, I didn't realize blind people were searching so often.
I can't find anything in my home.
I heard something, yes.
Yeah, watch In the Dark for a more accurate portrayal of blindness.
Or, if you could locate it, the lost ABC drama Blind Justice.
Right, I remember
that
vaguely.
There was a lawyer who was blind.
Do you remember in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where Kristen Bell, by the way, looked unbelievable and so tan. And that was her, like, her show within the show. She was an actress.
Yes.
And she played, like, a blind cop, or did, like, not far from a blind lawyer.
Speaking of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, what we talked about earlier, you remember, like, the first season of Arrested Development when she played that lawyer who was pretending to be blind?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That went somewhere.
When we're back, keep it.
Keep It is brought to you by Barefoot Dreams. Lewis?
Yes?
When you see footprints in the sand, that was when I carried you in my Barefoot Dreams robe.
Now, is that a Leona Lewis song? No?
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams, especially now as the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary. With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket. And while many have attempted to duplicate their blankets, robes, and more, Barefoot Dreams' fabrication and quality cannot be replicated, so don't believe the dupes. Girl, this blanket is it.
I effing love this blanket. I'm thinking about it right now, and I want to jump in my bed, which is sponsored by something that we'll do another ad for momentarily. Get ready. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Jesus, get a life, Oprah. My God. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials. Their products make the perfect gifts, too. I throw this thing on. I wear it like a shawl. I look exactly like Ellen Burstyn. And I am the coziest a human being can be. Because, by the way, it's still that time in Los Angeles where it's, like, pretty mild outside, and then your apartment is cold. I can't explain it. I don't know things like basic science. For Keep It listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code KEEPIT15. Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR and how I live my life every day.
Oh, I'm glad to bear witness to it.
Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of a struggle.
It sounds like you at Coachella. I'm already tuned in. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective, from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives have always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us.
Doesn't the Black experience sound like a 3-disc Prince album we never got? Someone check the vault, please. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get your podcasts.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And we're back with a special Thanksgiving edition of Keep It. We all know Lewis hates fall in general, so you probably hate Thanksgiving.
My fists are clenched. No, I generally like Thanksgiving because in the morning I always watch a movie by myself and then go back to family and then go back to friends, etc. So it's like an organized day for me. My keep it is to any turkey that is not deep fried. That is exciting turkey. That's something you like in the deep fat fryer situation. That's what I want to eat.
How often was your family deep frying a turkey?
Not often.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right. Because I'm like, bitch, how are you that skinny?
Right.
Also, deep frying turkey, my mom's family is from Louisiana. We have been deep frying turkeys for decades. And then somebody told white people about it.
Right.
And they all started burning their houses down.
Yes.
They started burning their houses down with vats of hot oil when we had been doing it for years. And then it became like less of a novelty when I was like, oh, we deep fry a turkey. And it's like, you know, Chad is like, me too.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't really do that. I mean, my family's originally from Tennessee. And I've never deep fried a turkey.
It's like,
it's so delicious.
Yeah. It was how we always.
I've had deep fried turkey, but my family has never.
Because turkey's not that good.
It's like your seventh favorite meat.
That is the surprise twist about Thanksgiving. Turkey's not that good. If it was, we'd cook turkey and eat it all year round.
Right, and I don't know who who originated the deep frying of turkey, but I will say, like, it feels
Columbus.
To me like a very Louisiana thing where they were like, oh, we're going to actually make this taste good.
Right.
Yeah,
and meat shouldn't be flaky.
It was Napoleon.
Oh,
that was part of the Louisiana Purchase.
Got it.
Oh, you know who did it the first time? Sam Smith. Isn't that crazy? No, but it's an unexcited meat. It like is it flaky. It just meat should be committed to what it is.
I remember. I feel like there was a time in like the late 90s, like early 2000s, where they were really pushing all of us to just like be eating turkey all the time. This was supposed to be this
healthy
alternative.
Meat, yeah.
It's like, have a turkey burger. I remember my mom constantly making us eat turkey burgers. And then we were like, you know what? You can just have some beef.
I mean, it is a healthier meat.
It is. But you
poultry.
Know, chicken is healthy too.
Okay.
And it's better than turkey.
If you told me I could only eat chicken for the rest of my life, I would not be unhappy. I'm a fan of chicken.
So maybe a Thanksgiving chicken this year, people, instead of a Thanksgiving turkey. Yes.
That would be me living my best
Sometimes
life.
Sometimes we would have a Cornish hen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a turducken one year.
Yeah.
That was fun.
How was that? I'm on the fence about duck.
It's good. Oh, mm-hmm. No. Duck is great. It was good. Yeah.
I love foie gras.
And it's not
controversial.
Also, you are currently listening to this episode while I'm in Europe, in Paris, probably eating foie gras.
Also, with a turducken, they're not that big, so you're not left with like 8 pounds of meat week later that you don't want. Like, you kind of get through most of it. So that's a benefit.
I will say that turkey, I never really loved like the turkey like day of or whatever, but the next day when I would make like sandwiches with it and the gravy, that is bomb.
Here's my question. Are you Black Friday people? I used to be addicted to it. Now I'm losing it a little bit.
Well, I'm black.
Oh, that's what I asked.
And on Friday, I'm still black.
Thank you for that poem, Gwendolyn Brooks. What was that?
Yeah. On Friday, still black. On Saturday, I look back.
Oh,
I do like Black Friday, but I feel like the sales aren't that good anymore.
Also,
I know.
I'm certainly not going anywhere.
I don't go to the store.
Yeah. Mm. I also, this year, I'm going to be away in the beginning part of the year, and I'm going to be in Paris, and I'm like, I should save all of my money to shop there. So I'm like, I'm not going to waste it on like 15% off at Madewell. Mm-hmm. You know, like I need to.
You know what? I'll just stay in Paris, and then I'll see you when you get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Louis will just take over.
Yeah, sure. Oh, my God. I feel bad for this podcast.
The Louis Vertel Variety Hour.
I've prepared a song.
Kara, what is your Thanksgiving keep it?
My Thanksgiving theme keep it is to genocide.
Oh, likewise.
Yeah. Because you can't think
genocide.
Of Thanksgiving.
Genocide. I'm not hearing it.
Can't think of Thanksgiving without thinking of genocide. I can't, at least. So don't love that.
Yeah.
Keep it to that.
Don't Underrated love- part of Keep- Adam's family values where like the Wednesday Addams as like an Indian squad takes over and like bemoans the genocide that
right.
has occurred.
Keep it to you know, white people coming into countries they have no business being in and murdering everyone who's there.
Don't do King Leopold
it, honestly,
like that.
Keep it to the Native Americans who helped the Pilgrims, guys. Next time we're not helping anybody. Stop helping them when they come. They're just going to kill you. That's what happened. Your generosity is not going to be met with generosity.
Wow, you just read Squanto and Samoset.
I did, guys.
Wow.
Sorry.
Pocahontas is shook.
No. Keep it to genocide. Think of that on Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Yeah. What's your keep it, Ira?
My keep it is to people who put things that are not cheese in mac and cheese.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Mac and cheese is called macaroni and cheese because it is macaroni and it is cheese. You make a roux, you put it in the macaroni, and then you bake it. And that's all you need to fucking do. Don't put tomatoes. Don't put bacon.
Mm-mm.
If the crust...
Tomatoes?
If the...
People... I, mm-hmm.
The whites. It doesn't even need breadcrumbs.
Not really.
Can I tell you, I take the safest angle on this as a white person. I don't even really like mac and cheese. Maybe I haven't had the good shit.
I don't think you have.
No.
Because mac and cheese is bomb.
And you got to see when the butter is still kind of like left over in the bottom when you scoop it out. That's
Somebody
when you know.
Somebody put shrimp and some mac and cheese.
What?
Once.
What the
when,
fuck?
When I was at a Thanksgiving, and I was like, what?
This doesn't need a
wait,
tail.
In the family, like, it's not like you went to a restaurant or lobster mac and cheese. Like, it was the communal. It was
yes.
just the dish, and they put shrimp
it
in it.
It was communal.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
It was because I didn't go home and decided to have Thanksgiving with friends in L.A. a couple years ago.
Shrimp in it.
Well, you thought they were your friends.
Yeah, don't put anything in the mac and cheese.
Yeah, they're trash.
You can go crazy with the kinds of cheese.
Or
yeah,
don't put goldfish crackers on it like a friend of mine did.
Was that actually a real thing?
Yes, it was real.
Someone you know did that?
Who would want to eat that?
Also, goldfish don't taste like cheese.
I'll tell you guys off the show, but it's someone who was on this podcast.
Get the fuck out.
Who did that? And by the way, that photo was then later stolen.
You've
by this website, Betches. I didn't talk about it on the
show. Did you not?
Oh, no. Betches, they steal my shit sometimes, too.
Yeah.
They're like stealers.
They stole it and then slapped this is a paid sponsorship from Hinge on it.
Why would that make anyone want a date?
Yeah.
Seeing weird mac and cheese.
I don't know. Hinge is wild. Betches is wild.
Here's my question. Did you pick off the goldfish? Did you eat this mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Did you eat the goldfish?
No.
How was the underneath mac and cheese?
It was good.
Okay. So you don't need, it adds nothing.
Right.
You don't need breadcrumbs. Anyway.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hell
or not, because genocide.
Yeah, genocide is bad. Let's hope that everyone showed up on November 6th.
Oh, yeah. That's
because this is going to be real awkward if you guys didn't. So take this. If you didn't, not happy about it. If so, you were free to enjoy your pie and your Thanksgiving, but only if you voted. If you didn't, we will talk about this when we return.
Also, white people harass your racist relatives.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't let them eat food. Treat them like Mitch McConnell at a Shoney's.
Yes. You're going to, none of this shit of like, oh, grandma's old. Fuck grandma. She's voting still. She's dragging her ass to the polls. She's not even going to be here in 5 years. And she's dictating your shit. Tell her to get it together.
Particularly if your relatives are like educated. Like, what the fuck? There's no excuse. You can't like hide under they lied to me. It's like, no, you fucking knew better.
Sorry your old grandma didn't like it when that one black girl came into her school at Little Rock.
They're still pressed.
They're still pressed.
Yes. Yell at your relatives.
All right. Well, that's our show. We'll see you next week.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.